Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Daylight is so close, so don't you worry about day.
34 half the hour now on the DJV Experience. Victoria Keelan, Jennifer Horn, Doug Steffen. Our discussion about our own relationship, our perspective on things. In a few minutes, we're going to get into something that I find absolutely fascinating, and I think you will, too. We'll meet Tim Link, who is the author of Talking with Dogs and Cats and Wagging Tails. With all of us so interested in our pets in the here and now and the pets that we've had before, this animal communicator looks to be fascinating. So that's in a moment or two. Speaking of fascinating, I have... Sounds like a Rush Limbaugh line, doesn't it? Speaking of fascinating, I am... Okay, so this new iPhone that I have and what I can do with it. Jennifer sent me something because she was able to talk to Donald Trump on the air and he wanted to get a message across to me. And if you didn't hear me just a few minutes ago playing this, now I have it worked out, Jennifer, so that I can do it without having too much heavy lifting. So here we go.
Hello, Dad. This is Donald Trump. I'm here with Jennifer Horn and Ben Shapiro. First up, I want to say the program you do is absolutely incredible. The Good Day thing, I mean, the whole thing. People come up to me all the time and they say, Doug Steffen is really incredible. And I say, absolutely. I mean, of course. I mean, really, the guy is unbelievable. Anyway, I understand you're an aviation expert. I had a little bit of a problem. I fondled a woman in the mid-'80s on an airplane. And now she's talking to the media. And, of course, as I'm heartbeats away from the presidency, this presents a little bit of a problem, Doug. As an aviation expert, can you please let me know if in 1983 there were liftable seat rests in between the two seats in the first-class cabin? Because, obviously, if there was an unmovable rest for the elbow, I could not have groped her, as I obviously did in 1983 on flight 405 to Tampa. Anyway, she was really incredible. I have to be honest with you. People come up to me and say, I mean, you really get great seatmates on airplanes. And I mean, it's absolutely true. So you're incredible. And please let me know about the aviation because ixnay on the oak gray, if you understand what I mean.
Okay. Two things.
Pretty big
there.
Time when you were in aviation to the potential Trump
right.
administration.
I mean, I could be the director of the FAA.
You
when
sure
he gets
could.
There. That'd be a good thing for me. So anyway, that's there's a that. If I get off on, don't let me get off on a tangent. I'm just going to let it set and move on. We were talking about the Zika virus, and Victoria said there were 73 people in New York who have Zika?
73 pregnant women right
pregnant
now
women.
In New York City
in New York.
With Zika.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many are from New York City and how many are from other places.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right. So there is some the focus on this bug and some other bugs. We are developing bacteria and viruses that are immune to most of the things that we have now, whether it's penicillin or other drugs that are supposed to knock these things down. So the folks in Australia doing research have turned to the Tasmanian devils. The Tasmanian devil may, in fact, pose a threat to to something we actually like to see disappear, the superbug. Where is the Tasmanian devil when we need him? Okay.
Suffering succotash.
Anyway, the research has been done. There are really Tasmanian devils. You know that. They're marsupials along with the Tasmanian devils that have a powerful chemical in their body that makes them immune. Their young grow healthier. Scientists are investigating the Tasmanian devil's potential to kill superbugs. So anyway, I thought you'd find it interesting that Tasmanian devils, that their milk is very potent, very powerful, and could be the secret to getting rid of things, even like the Zika virus. Tim Link is with us. He's the host of the Animal Rights Show on Pet Life Radio, Animal Rights, WRITES. He is on the radio, television all the time. Victoria found him and decided that it would be a good idea for us to talk to him, and I agree 100%. I believe in this sort of thing. Tim, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
As a matter of fact, I've talked to animal communicators before. When my dog, Charlotte, died a year ago in April, the first call I made was to a friend of mine who is an astrologer, and she put me on to an animal communicator, and within 40 minutes, I had talked to this lady and felt pretty comfortable about where my Charlotte had gone. And not only then, but I've used animal communicators with, I have a dairy farm. The communicators have talked to my cows. The lady in my life is a horse person. She talks to animal communicators all the time when it comes to how to handle the horses. What are their problems? What are they thinking? So people who think people like you are nuts are nuts, as far as I'm concerned, because I think there is something to it. How did you figure this out? How did you figure you could talk to the animals?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was, I would say, quite by accident. You know, I don't recall being one of those children who, you know, rescued squirrels from trees and brought home every stray cat that was out there. We lived in a very modest house, less than 700 square foot house with three children and a mom and dad. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of critters running around. But and then I spent 20 years as a telecom executive. You know, I traveled the world and met with some of the biggest telecom companies around the world. But back in 2004, that was all going to change. Unbeknownst to me, a little, or should say a major shift was going to go down in my life. And I went to a little animal communication workshop. It was actually my wife's idea. It was her birthday weekend, and she wanted to go. So I thought, well, you know, I've got the card, I've got the flowers, now I've got the gift. So I'm good for one more year as a good husband. But during the workshop, you know, we went through techniques, breathing exercises, calming exercises. We did meditations, and then we connected with animals that were there and pictures of animals. And we were asked to look at the pictures, look at the animals, see what we get. Ask them one simple question that only their human companion knew the answer to, their owner knew the answer to. And see what we got, write it down, and then we'll compare notes afterwards. So we went through probably about 25 different animals, close to 100 questions, and every time I received a bit of information. Usually it was an image or a couple of words. And so I jotted that down, thought, okay, well, this is kind of a fun little thing we're doing here. Well, every single time I did it, I received information, and it was 100% accurate. So I thought, wow, you know, this is cool. This is strange. Maybe I'm on a roll. Maybe I should go to Vegas now and lay the money down because I'm on a hot streak here today. And really, I didn't know what it meant. You know, I didn't know how to work with it. What was it going to mean in my life? And then what was it going to be in my career? You know, it wasn't like I could go to the head of Microsoft and say, hey, guess what? You know, you spend like $30 million on this technology that I'm trying to sell you for these mobile devices, and I'll come by and tell you why Fluffy's no longer using the litter box. Yeah, I knew those worlds weren't quite aligned yet. I'm hoping in one lifetime it will align, but not now. But I worked with Gift and continued to develop it, receiving more information from the animals, worked with my own animals, worked with animals of friends. Later, we were part of an animal healing ministry at my church, and then later became president of a local humane society. And then it just blew up from there. And I had to make a decision on what I was going to do with my life, what my purpose was in this life. And this was definitely it. So I immediately tendered my resignation, left corporate America, and started my little business called Wagging Tales, T-A-L-E-S, all the tales they tell me. And kumbaya, here I am today.
I was going to write a book about Charlotte, short tales about Charlotte. She was an English bulldog. I've started it, but I haven't finished it yet. Using the tail is a great way to get us interested. Last year, Meredith and I went to a seminar with Amelia Kincaid. Do you know her?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she does the same sort of thing that you do. And when you started to describe the things that you were doing, I remembered things that we had done that were similar to that. What I always wonder is how do you do all animals? Dogs, cats, horses, cows, marsupials. So I was just talking about the Tasmanian devil. How do you find the affinity that you have, or is it necessary? Do you just have people ask you questions about their dog, and they, you know, come back with an answer for them?
Yeah, it's all animals. You know, I've worked with all kinds of animals, obviously dogs and cats, in my latest book called Talking with Dogs and Cats, because we have them. They're the number one, number two domestic animals we have in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But all animals have the same energy, spirit, essence, soul, however you want to label it, and they're all able to communicate on that telepathic level. So I do a lot of work with animal sanctuaries and farms. I've worked with zoos and aquariums. So it's really fascinating. And I look at my role as sort of a conduit. You know, you have questions about the animals that are in your life or that you take care of. I work as that conduit to relay that information, relay that question to the animal, and then I get information back from them.
All right, so it is all live. There's no communicating with the dead. It's just all of the animals that you deal with are here and now. Is that it?
No, I do work with animals that have made their transition. Mm-hmm. The way I get the information from the animals, and this is my true belief, is everything that's living today that's in body is just a form of energy. So
yep.
When that energy transitions,
yep.
it's still there.
We're spirit, and we're just in a body at this time.
That's right.
So
yeah, they're using a body.
if I say to you, do you focus in? My bulldog's name was Charlotte, and what more do you need to know about her in order to perhaps communicate? Does she have to want to talk to you, or can you bring her in as an example of how you work for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was fortunate to get a photo of beautiful Charlotte ahead of time, and that's always helpful. I do a lot of remote consultations since I work with people around the world. So it's important for me to have a photo, preferably one that has a clear picture of their eyes and their face, to use as a focal point, get the name of the animal, and then we sort of go from there. And so I'll open it up. You can ask me a question about Charlotte. And I try to tell people not to ask questions like, you know, what did Charlotte like to eat? Because if this was the one question you could ask your dog in your entire life, why would you want to know, especially if they made their transition, why would you want to know what they wanted to eat?
I feel she's around me all the time.
There you go.
What sort of work is she doing? What do you get from her right now? What is she thinking, and does she want me to know?
She's been there all the time, and she said you feel her. She said did she sleep on the end of the bed or in your bed? Because I'm getting a warmth sensation, especially around the feet.
Yep.
So we get that sensation. So, and it's good that you identify that, you know, because as humans, we often doubt ourselves. So we talk ourselves out of things, as I say.
Not me.
You know, receiving this information, whether it's in form of words, feelings, colors, emotions, whatever it is, that is her. That's a good indicator that it's her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she is around quite often, and that warm feet is a sensation laying there. That's a key for her. She wants you to know when you feel that, that's her making an appearance.
What is she doing to guide me and or us? Is there something, is she doing her thing?
Right. Well, here's what she's saying to me. She's saying, don't slow down. Don't slow down. And what I'm peeling back that, I call it peeling back the onion, trying to get an idea of what that means. She said, keep moving forward with the things that you're doing, the projects you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm receiving, does that resonate with you? Are there things that you're doing to try to advance your life, your career, bringing on animals, more animals into your life, these types
yes.
of things?
Yep, I am. That's exactly what I'm doing on my
farm.
There you go. I have a dairy farm, and if I had more time, I would spend it talking to you about the cows and the horses and bring people in. So what I'll do is extend to you an offer to come visit with us from time to time, and we'll get people to ask us questions about their animals, and we'll pass them on to you, and you can maybe help some of these people out. It's a pleasure getting to know you, Tim. Thank you very much. Tim Link, Animal Communicator, here at 10 before the hour.
Welcome to American Biker Minutes. Name and town.
Kimberly Austin, Stevensville, Montana.
What's it like for you?
It's fun, and that I enjoy the biker lifestyle.
If you're cut out to be a biker, you'll recognize the symptoms right away.
Yeah, I like it.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Like the commercial says, when will it hit ya?
I enjoy the biker lifestyle for sure. I didn't even start riding until like 3 months ago and came an obsession of mine real fast.
How so?
Curiosity, really. A buddy of mine was like, hey, come hop on the bike. And I had a great time. And I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to keep doing this. And it makes me feel so free and just happy and alive.
What's your ride?
A Harley.
American Biker Minute.
Big old black one.
Your passport to the open road and two wheels.
Think Green. Harrison with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water, but now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Today on App Check, McGyro. Sheriff McGyro aims his trusty pistol at plywood cutouts. Reminds me of my old Atari console from 1985. McGyro struck out.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Are you power hungry? Do you want the world to know that you're in charge? Are you kind of a take charge kind of a person?
Yep, that's me.
Well, here's an easy trick which unmasks would-be powerholics, but first, the social science of it. You can try this little exercise. Take your index finger of the hand you write with and draw the letter E on your forehead.
Well, I can do that.
If you drew it where an onlooker could tell it's the letter E, you're not as power hungry as you think. But if you drew the letter E backwards where it looks like the number 3 to the onlooker, you ignore others and you're likely out for power.
The world is now under my control.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, if you ignore the perspective of others, you do it at your own peril. Even power-hungry people cannot survive without followers. Got a question? You can send it to me at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.